put it this way. I think I, from what I heard, that the stuff we did for the campaign was good. Everybody says it was at least professionally better than the government's. But that means something. But I have a hunch that it did not have that sort of the chemistry that grabs. The chemistry that sells and so forth, because basically you did not have an editor who's an advocate. You must have an editor who's an advocate. Cromer sent me over, I asked him what he thought was one of the better Churchill biographies, sent one by Borg abroad.
Talking about that. And somewhere in between,
there is a fine, somewhere in between, there is a great editor. That's what I mean. I just don't want it done by a cold professional this time. I think that was the problem with documentaries, the coldness, the failure to really, for somebody who was an advocate to sit in there, let's say, you just got to have an advocate.
It was done by advocates, and I don't think they were failures. I think they were...
No, I know, as far as documents,
which is a different purpose than what you're after here, because there you were trying to make some points in a different kind of way than you will in the...
I just want to be sure. I know we spent a hell of a lot of money on those, and maybe they were marvelous successes. Fine, let's concede it. The point is, a hell of a lot of money will be spent in this foundation. Let's be sure it's spent for people that are for us.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure there are very many intelligent people that are for us. I've got to admit that. And therefore, you're going to have a hell of a time finding them. And you'll probably end up with pedestrian people doing the writing. But God, there might be a good conservative that can write. There might be a Buchanan with judgment. Or with elements.
Yeah, the problem you got is it is the Buchanan that you want, because it is... On the stories of this thing, you can't just believe in them.
No, not on
the breakthrough for bees.
You want a little bit of a poet at the same time.
That's right.
And a bit of the poet?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, well, it is. There's some stuff there. If you get what you want, really, and you'll throw up when I say it. What you want is that your Saidi who's on our side. The Saidi can't write.
He's
terrible.
I think what you want is things wrong.
What I think you want is a Teddy White that's on our side.
Saidi puts
a lot more drama and poetry in it than Teddy does. Teddy is more analytical.
Teddy is a great sucker-asser.
That's for sure. Have you seen the Winston Churchill movie? It's just out.
Yeah, once you heard about it. It's very good.
Yeah, it's... There's some techniques that I think are kind of distracting, but it's very faithful to the story of his early life. I think
it's got to be faithful. It's got to show warmth.
But it shows his vanity and his ambition and his mother's ambition and all that.
Sure.
I think very faithfully. His father's. Yeah, and his decline and what it does to the kid and all that. It's pretty well developed. I should know the folks, the family.
It's a case for parents that you don't have to worry about your kids. They'll turn out fine
if you're lousy parents anyway.
God, that poor Churchill kid,
His mother was sleeping
with everybody in the place. His father was insane.
I think my guess is we're not going to find such a man. So, and it really gets back. I was talking about around to the whole research thing. We've got a very fine group of there dedicated people.
That's all we did. But when you look at our writers and so forth, 30 years ago, we got something that's just that kind of thing. You got a writer, or something, an individual. It's like, just get a step slower, like you can, but all the better things.
That's right. There's a chance
that we all have that.
How would you like a nice, shiny new government?
You know, I was thinking of that. If you read these Churchillian stuff, I read it for the purpose of getting some balance in our own. That the perspective. One of the great things, John, about the British system an actor.
Well, they always have to cover. Do you know that?
Yep.
And they'd sit down, and the making of a cabinet was the big deal.
Right.
Disraeli would go down to, you could sit down, and everybody would come call you and this and that, and then finally they put on a new cabinet. Sometimes they repeated a lot, but normally they cut about half of them. Well, I know it's never been done before. That's why I say that what we're doing here is much needed. I don't think it's been done before. You got to say this for Roosevelt. Roosevelt drew a hell of a lot of people out. Franklin Roosevelt did. And Lincoln was loyal to the most vicious bunch of bastards, but he canned a lot. He canned a lot throughout the period. But he never had the chance to make this huge change. Eisenhower just, you know, followed along with it. And,
changes.
He totally approved of what you were up to.
The place we've got to start, though, on a, is the question of how you want to work, how far you want to go in trying to put together something that will work the way you want to work with it, and how you define the way you want to work with it.
Oh, yeah, define, yeah. The other thing we have to remember is always start with 3 or 4 propositions. We'll never get another chance to do it. That's this is the last chance. That's why I'm willing to fight a hell of a lot of bullets. I don't want any regrets. There will never be any other chance. That's what a lot of people like. I think that just want us to temporize with it. If you ever find out what the hell's eating Bob Finch?
No, I have a call.
That's very important for you to get that boss
coming back today.
There must be something.
Well, I have a call in for it, too.
I've had one in since yesterday. You understand? I don't want to feel it. Caps problem is pure.
help fund that.
And,
school lunch.
School lunch, you'll have to pay. You can't do that. Well, those are things, you don't put in things that are going to be, make you look like a goddamn hard-hearted, brutal bastard.
Don't borrow trouble here.
It isn't as bad as, it's not as bad as it was in the first draft.
Okay, well,
when I was here,
sure.
Cap has no judgment on such things. Well, I don't know, but that's the one problem I'm concerned about putting the AG up.
When we came back
from
Philadelphia that day, you know, from the
session
here, we sat down and we went through his $10 billion of cuts. And we made a major change in direction at that point, which he's been working on ever since, to try and clean the thing up and get it on the
table. Can I just ask one simple question? Sure, we get into this. What do you do about the water thing?
I would put nothing into the water.
We are going to propose two things to you. One, that C. Ruckel's house, technically, can withhold certification of projects.
So that's a control point, and we're already working on that. The second is to go in with a bill at a proper level and try and get, in effect, repealing legislation. Meantime, we can control the expenditures by Ruckel's house just not certifying the projects. And so
we'll just budget. Well, I would just take the whole environmental thing. At this point, we just can't afford this. We get down to it. And I feel strongly about that. And, I mean, there is one. Like, let's face it, maybe it's better to clean up the air and the water than it is to have school lunches. I know the school lunch thing is a fraud. But the school lunch thing is one that you can't win on. I've told Cap this. I've told George Schultz this. And it keeps coming back.
So I'll send it up to him.
It won't be back.
You understand?
Sure. Don't you agree?
Sure.
You better can't do that. And on the other hand, model cities, including Jerry Ford's thing,
yep,
and the rest, the whole thing is flushed. Whatever it is, flush it, all of it. That doesn't bother me. And let Jerry Ford's wheel.
But we're ahead of you on this. This is the type of thing that we get to
do. Now, on the education thing, I just cut it in half. You know, higher education, frankly, cut it in half. So we can't afford it anymore. That's all. We can't do it. National science on half. And let me say, on the military, there, we're really going to have to rub Henry's nose right in the shell on this. We've got to get at the intelligence agencies. I'm not referring just to the CIA. I want to get after the CIA for control purposes, because to get the left wingers and the fairies and so forth out of there. But most of the expenditure for intelligence is in the military.
DIA.
It is a horrible waste. That's one place where we can cut the military without cutting the muscle. Because basically, John, their intelligence isn't worth a shit. It's duplicative and the rest. And so on that part of the military, we cut it back. I want that White House down. I want less people to have contact with me. And I just want to Understood. Coulson will be invaluable in what he does. While he stays here. But we have just simply got to take that whole office over there and
flush it. Because we don't need it anymore.
Well, that leads right into what I think we have covered this morning.
All right.
Which,
starting with Ag.
Yes. All right.
Well, let's start
with Ag. Okay.
Got it on that now.
Right.
Okay.
Are you problem with that is first of all, everything flows out of a basic decision. You may not want to make it. But if you've made it, then we ought to have it in consideration, and that is 76.
Well, the basic decision.
If you make that
basic decision,
I understand that.
If you make the basic, let me put it this way. I recognize that we may get stuck with that. I recognize, on the other hand, I mean, but having in mind the fact that if the choice is between Agnew and Percy, I'm for Agnew. I clearly understand that. If the choice is between Agnew and John Anderson, I'm for Agnew. I'd rather lose with Agnew than win with Percy. I clearly understand that. Clearly understand. Because to have that kind of person involved would be a disaster. It'd be worse than Teddy Kennedy.
But the other way to add that is,
or do you want to build someone else into that role?
Well, there's no way to build.
And how much extent do you want to chop Agnew off? How far do you want to signal him that?
Well, the way you chop him off is that we chop him off only by saying we're chopping the hell out of everybody else in the White House.
And we put Agnew back where the vice president was when I was vice president. Yeah. Something like
that. Could that frame it a little different way?
I don't know. Let me say this on Agnew so that we understand it. Various offices and perquisites and so forth. I think if you come, that if you get at this point, right after the election, you come up and he doesn't accept with grace the decision that is made. You see, the idea that the way I would put it to Agnew is that, look, we've got a goddamn tough thing to do here. And we're just going to reorganize this from the top to the tail. I'm going to cut the White House staff in half. Way to cut your staff.
Like that. How would you frame it?
Well, I'd like to pull back to this basic question as to where he goes. It seems to me that up until now, we've had his forced cooperation because he didn't know whether he was going to be on the ticket and there was uncertainty and all this and that. Now that's behind him. He's in. He's got nothing to lose.
Except your support in 76.
Vindicated.
Right.
He's got nothing to lose at this point.
Except my support.
Except your support.
Yeah.
If we signal at this time that he doesn't have it and he won't get it for any reason, then, of course, he's a free agent. He's out to feather his own nest at your expense, and he's got nothing to lose.
And his friends will be free agents. That's the other term.
Yep.
Which is worse.
And his staff can start a war.
They're well, we're nuts.
They're worse. So I think you've got to keep what leverage you have over him as long as you can keep him.
I agree.
And so you don't.
That's why
you don't bring it off.
That's why I say don't get caught at it.
Sure.
From a public standpoint, you don't get caught at it. From a private standpoint, you know. But you just say, now look, let's all get together and slam this thing down. So go ahead.
Well, how do you do it then? At the same time, I think you ought to decide in your own mind whether you want to further his interests or not. If you don't want to further his interests, then there's some things we can do
right
now.
Well, we can decide that we don't want to further his interests.
Well, then the office
is basically, let me put it this way. Whose chances of being nominated aren't going to make one goddamn bit of difference in what I do. We talk about furthering your interests
yeah.
and so forth.
Yeah.
I was nominated. Eisenhower was not pushing me for renomination. The only thing that we got was Dulles working on the trip to Russia. Dulles and her following. That's the only good thing we got. Eisenhower was playing the game of a lot of other people and so forth. He was not unfriendly, but then after he knew it was there. He was not friendly. But I went out and did it on my own. I got the support. And Agnew will do exactly the same thing, in my opinion. He'll go gassing around through the South, out through the Midwest, and all that sort of thing. And whether we are for him or not is going to make one hell of a lot of difference until we get to the crunch. So my point is that right now, I don't want him to be in the appearance of being the fair-haired boy and the heir apparent, if that's your Well, that's better on the other hand.
I don't want to be in the appearance of being deliberately trying to push him down.
I understand. So there are some, there's some subtleties in this.
Yeah.
For instance, the Office of Intergovernmental Relations.
Yeah.
Here's his contact with all kinds of organization people out across the country, and a lot of mayors and so on and so forth. If he follows his typical pattern, he will skim all the gravy off that. He'll deliver the good news. But when Reagan wants to call somebody and eat them out, he'll refer the phone call. And my strong feeling is that if you leave him with the Office of Intergovernmental Relations, you are furthering his interests at your disadvantage, because you'll get all the negatives and he'll get all the positives. Now, there are two or three different kinds of things like that. On the other hand, there are some things that he could do that come under the heading of don't get caught at it that could be assigned to him that are distinctly a mixed blessing.
For example,
a bicentennial, which is right now very damaged goods.
And, well, yet it ought to be a hell of a show.
And that's an opportunity to have
you to get out front.
You know, it's a hell of a show. That it's a good thing for him to get into, and that it will get him out around the country, and he can go abroad, and he can do all sorts
of things. I don't know what I do. I mean, we have no contact with any of him or his people. So what the hell he's planning for 76? Is he determined to go?
Any idea?
We don't know that.
See, that's my point.
I suspect that he is semi-determined to go. Yeah, he's run around the country.
You see,
the
thing is,
the thing that he's done, John, is very different from the things that I did. Like, when I look at his schedule, sure, he did quite a bit. But compared to what I did in 56, it was a goddamn
equal. Yeah, three-day weeks.
But mine in 56,
oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ, I was hitting it all over the country.
Yeah.
Doing the national television. I did two or three national televisions, you know. For just, I carried the whole load. I really got to know the country. But Agnew, you know, he skims around, he's playing golf on the weekends and all that sort of thing.
On the other hand, in today's climate, he may be
the kind of person
more good. Maybe do him more, that may have done him more good than having any solid
year 56. Yeah, but generally, you're thinking about two different things. It may have been good for his image.
It may not have been good for getting those delegates and so forth that we,
well, what we're really saying is that we approach his assignment as if 76 weren't a factor.
That's right.
You go at it on the basis of what's the best things for him to be doing.
But have in mind the fact
that we, if there arises from the scene a responsible man who could have a chance to meet to Teddy Kennedy, we would of course take him over it. That decision we can't make until about a couple years from now. Because there is no responsible man now. The only one that could do it is Conway. And Conway is about to do it right now, in my opinion. I mean, he's going to wait and see. He's been kind of a fella. He's a good poker player. And he would have from. But he's the only one that's got the ability, frankly, to do it. None of these people in the cabinet. I mean, when they talk about Richardson running for president, it's a joke. You know? Peterson running for president. Shit, that's a worse joke.
Peterson?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, it boils down to actually isn't what you want. If you sat down and went, here's the guy who wants to succeed, but he ain't
it. No disrespect to him.
Right. Who the hell should be president?
That's right.
I wonder if anybody should be.
But it may sort down as you get to the crunch that he's the best of a bad lot. That's what you do. It's very unlikely, in my opinion, that we'll come to that because I frankly think that Agnew lacks. I think he lacks the energy. I think there's a lack of energy there. And second, I think he lacks any sort of the leadership ability. I mean, he's got a bunch of asterisks around, but he doesn't have many people around him who are there that respect him, who are intellectually, am I overstating it?
No. And this is going to be a serious weakness, it seems to me, in his run for it.
Is it?
And he just doesn't have the horses. So what you got is...
Yeah, but take a phone, what is it that he can use? A phone like Buchanan would be very good. He could get a phone like a Buchanan would, you know, be for a...
I'm just using it.
So he could get the bright right-wingers, couldn't he?
I'm not sure Buchanan would be.
Just like the right-wingers for Goldwater. Agnew's smarter than Goldwater. See my point?
But I'm not curious if other presidential candidates will go there.
Candidate? Yes, they just won't pan out. But you can't, in the first place, you do what you told them to. If you didn't want to do, I use him as an example.
I know.
Over there on the right, there are some intelligent people who are not particularly robust.
That's right.
See, the problem is, the bright right-wingers aren't for us, the bright left-wingers aren't for us. We've got the people in the middle who's not very smart, but they're loyal. So there we are.
Well, that's, you got the human events crowd.
Is that right?
Sort of what you're talking about.
Stanton Evans on the lunch.
They would be correct.
That's right.
That's right.
No. Because just for the same reason they were for Goldwater. Because they think Egg was a racist.
Which he is.
Which he is. He really is.
He's not a conservative, though. Egg, I think he is.
Oh, Christ. Egg was much more liberal on a lot of this crap, you know, than I know.
He's got some funny bumps.
Oh.
It's very hard to know how he'll spin.
You believe strongly, but not in any consistent fashion.
Yeah.
It feels strongly, but not in a consistent fashion. And let me say, the place that I would be great, most concerned about him, of course, is the Foreign Affairs Committee.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have the stroke. Conley, we know, is an up-and-down guy and so forth, but Conley is a hell of a big man and a hell of a strong man. His first reactions may be wrong, but he's a guy that does talk to people, you know. He does do that.
And he changes his mind.
And he'll change his mind like that, and Agent doesn't.
Yeah,
that's true. Agent's great problem is he will not change his mind when he's faced with facts that are just incontestable. Okay, we'll start with what you would have him do. How do we get that damn intergovernmental relations thing on for
me? Well, I'll explain it.
I'll show you
as we develop this.
Leave it out because that comes in later.
But okay, yeah.
Just say that's a good thing to get out.
Let me say,
and the other thing that we might as well mention, if there were around this goddamn world, this country at the present time, somebody to build up, let me know. Rock. For president now.
That's another thing we ought to think about.
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't have to decide that now. If you decide now,
sure.
You take a benign neglect position on the vice president.
Yeah. You can't,
you know,
how long it takes to build a presidential candidate?
At least 4 years.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Before.
That's right.
But we've got a bigger problem, a key problem, putting the government together to start.
I know.
We ought
to that's why I was saying that when you ask, you don't want to act. Well, okay, answers, I don't know.
Okay, so that's a decision you can put right there.
But then
sure. I think the answer is we don't want Agnew. We don't want to give him any help.
Well, we can't get caught hurting him.
Right.
How's that sound?
And if that's April or so, and no later than that, we ought to really get into a crunch thing of whether there aren't 2 or 3 people that we could give to right. Boost to challenge.
That's right.
For the presidency.
Right.
And let's try some.
It ought to be 2 or 3.
We ought to have to focus on 1.
We ought to really work to build 2 or 3.
That's the FDR's.
And build a fight.
It was INR's.
And see who
wins. A guy who wins a fight will be a hell of a lot better candidate than a guy you anoint and pour oil over.
Don't we know?
All of our anointed candidates are
awesome. Yeah, you got to get a guy who wants it worse than anything in the world and won't do anything together.
I know there may be some. There may be some.
Yeah, and if we give him a little ginning up.
The music thing, I noticed it.
There's nothing, and I never believe in reading postmortems, and I think smarter and better commentary than otherwise, you know, you get the cravings about this or that.
We're working on some of the postmortems.
All I want is to see it all in perspective, because if you start reading what Scotty Resson and Tom Wicker, I'll be affected by it. I don't want to be affected.
The main political stuff right now is a war in the Democratic Party, and it's focused on Gene Westwood, and that's the only place for it to be.
Yeah, and I see where the government was saying that just that really, really hurt them because Wallace said on the radio,
yeah,
he
moved
the shit.
Yeah.
The leftists must think to write that.
Zinger called for some guidance on that.
On that?
Just said, no comment. The election's over.
Or was he trying to say something?
I just, the guidance I gave him was that that's a real insult to the American voter to comment that kind. That he's heard.
I just heard it around.
Well, I would ignore the fact that he ever existed. From now on, with Ziegler, you should ignore the fact that my government exists. I have no comment.
I really think that's better, so okay.
I think you better get in.
What time is it?
It's plenty of time.
I get him right now.
The thing that I was going to say is that I want that with my government. Now, the way to handle him and Shriver is to ignore the fact that he ever existed. Except to have others attack the shit out of him.
Incidentally, Bob,
this is John Hartman. You got me wrong,
Zick. Henry was saying,
come up. get that Thursday. And then I make this announcement Friday. I want this announcement of Henry's coming back being made by Sabre from here, not the White House. Why don't we have him come up Friday? He and Henry should come up Friday. And then he goes out and announces it. And Sabre's announcement. Maybe you better have him come up Thursday and spend the night. Away from me. Yeah, come with you. I mean, just for cover. They're quite nice. Let's wait a month and then start on that. Let's get this done now. John, I think on that basis we ought to skip the vice president and go into the other structure and then go back to where
I got the feeling here.
The premises on which we've been proceeding are the one that you just mentioned, that you should be able to deal with as few people as possible. Number one.
As of having mentioned this, do you think this is a good idea?
What? To deal with as few people as possible.
That's the way you have to do it.
Yes.
Everything that we're going to, these are things against you, are things that we believe in.
And you believe it.
And you're not suggesting only because of my own prejudice.
No.
Because I have some prejudice. I may be wrong.
No, well, they're not. But they do, in all fairness. They take into account your prejudice.
Because I can't work with them.
Because we can't come up and suggest that you deal with a daily cabinet meeting because we know you won't do it. So,
no. Right. The president would like you to just no comment about McGovern crack about the Wallace people. And also, just consistently no comment anything McGovern says from here on out.
Sure.
We'll get out of door striker, and we'll get out of
our or O'Brien or anybody else.
Well, I mean, through others.
Act as if they didn't
exist. From you or the White House, you just act as if they didn't exist. O'Brien, Mr. Westwood,
Driver, and the whole crowd.
What did he say?
That the Wallace people would have went to us, huh?
Of course they did.
It's a judgment of the Wallace people.
No. You just don't have any comment.
That's not a political matter. You're true.
So the election's over, and you just don't have any comment on
political recriminations.
But you don't say that. You just say no comment.
No comment.
Okay?
Yep.
Thanks.
Fine. Good time. No problem. There's all kinds of this. Getting down to this, a basic workable group, there are all kinds of very solid, substantive reasons for doing it that go beyond.
I guess
you're only at, I'll listen to this.
I'll sketch down a little bit of how we see it. Really, you can get away with contacts in five principal areas.
Right.
The three at the top are basically policy areas, domestic policy, economic policy, and foreign policy, and that's mostly issues of
economic policy, what are you talking about?
Foreign and domestic. Lumping it all together.
Stein, Schultz.
The whole works.
Cost of Living Council, the CEA, the Treasury, parts of commerce, parts of labor. The whole business can come at you from that one direction on every economic issue. Through one avenue.
Right. OMB. Now, I know what foreign is. I know what domestic is. What's OMB?
Well, OMB is your Office of Management and Budget.
I know.
And
why is it different from domestic?
It's different, right? Because domestic there, the only thing we're talking about is policy. We're talking there about developing what it is you want to do. OMB is one of your ways of getting it done.
The White House staff is another way of getting it done. So basically, those three units across the top.
Why don't we talk about who the people are?
Well, I don't want to do that until after we develop the.
You talk about those people.
Well, we'll get five.
Yeah, all right.
Ehrlichman, Haldeman, who's economic?
Economic was
Schultz.
Yes, he can do it. And that's why that breaks the pattern. That is, he takes a dual role.
Right.
He is both the Secretary of Treasury and. You're my genius.
Economic policy.
Exactly.
That's what I want.
Then Kissinger on foreign policy.
Foreign.
And we're using Ash as at least a hypothetical for OMB man.
The White House Haldeman.
Right.
Okay.
Now,
that's the five people.
That's the five people.
Put it into people.
All right. And through
those five people by that structure, you have a route to every facet of the executive branch of the government.
OMB as the whole, you don't have a good man for it. Well, we're thinking seriously of Ash as a recommendation.
Well,
to
you have to look at
well, yes, I see
the problem Ash. I see with Ash, which we might as well talk people into. The problem I see with Ash is it's a McNamara type. And that I'm afraid that he didn't
repent. Well, supposing his assignment were to come for 8 months to do two things. One, to reorganize OMB to make it an effective management tool. Two, to pick a full-time, permanent OMB man to stay with you the balance of the time. And then leave. And do what
he
would rather
do. Get a permanent OMB guy from the outside. He'll worry.
Well, it may not be from the outside.
That's right.
Maybe it's got to
be somebody we know.
Somebody like Malik. It might be somebody else around. But Ash could come in as the cutting edge, as the new broom. He could cut heads off over there. He could rejigger that place. Set it up as a management entity, which it's not now.
I think it's very important, if I can do it for one thing, just thinking of personalities. Malik might be part of that. Malik is mean enough, ambitious enough, and also a good enough judge of people, that he will get some good people. We've got to do better on people. We've simply got to do better on people.
Oh, that's absolutely, and that's where we're...
I wouldn't have much confidence in on that. He's outside.
Of course, Fred is working on people right now.
Ash is completely outside. Ash is the one guy who understands the concept of the OMB and the way that it ought to be shifted.
Right.
He is not, in my view, the ideal guy to run it.
Malik might be. Can we move down to the...
Go ahead.
Let's move to the next rank here.
Next rank.
All right. You see those five dark circles are the five circles you had on that first one. And behind them, are, like over there with Henry on the foreign side, he's got defense and state and CIA and the various makeups of the various constituents, so to speak. Now look at the domestic side. This is where we begin to shift into the reorganization mode. Because behind me, so to speak, on the domestic side, are three secretaries. Secretary of Natural Resources, Community Development, and Human Resources.
Yeah. Now, how do you do that? In other words, you're going to just tell the Secretary of, let's take Natural Resources.
All right. Tell the Secretary
which one of the cabinet are you going to remote?
Well, no, we're not. He's going to be the Secretary of Interior.
Fine.
And let's take Community Development as an example. We appoint a Secretary of HUD.
Right.
And we say to the Secretary of Agriculture, Mr. Secretary, when you take this job, you have to delegate a certain number of your authorities to the Secretary of HUD. This is legal. So by delegation, that secretary becomes a super secretary because he now has control over some things that go on in agriculture, even though he's the Secretary of HUD. And
we would tell the new Secretary of Transportation that he or she delegates the Coast Guard to the Defense Department.
You can do that.
Yeah, got to
do that, right?
Got to do that.
Now, what happens is that organically, under the law, they're still over there under transportation. But he has delegated, Volpe's successor has delegated to Laird's successor certain prerogatives with regard to the deployment of troops and the force levels and things of that kind, which the lawyers tell me it's possible for them to do.
Sure.
Now, on the, again, back to that little diagram, behind, on the domestic side there, you've got
Justin.
Well, and we don't know. I personally prefer to tuck Justice in under the human resources guy. Bob?
Never.
Well,
never.
Okay.
Never.
Bob disagrees.
What do you mean? To give that to Elliot Richardson?
No. Now, you're not talking about Elliot Richardson here.
Be Weinberger.
It might be Weinberger.
You mean to have him make decisions?
Well,
and recommendations about who's going to go into courts and all that sort of thing?
I don't know.
Prosecutions about antitrust, about...
You've still got an attorney general.
Yeah, I know.
And he's running the Justice Department.
Attorney general's got to have a special relationship with the president.
Okay. Well, then that's fine. That's what that dotted line is on.
The merit to that also is that keeps you within the reorganization thing. You stay with the form of the reorganization.
And also,
and in that case, we just got to do... Now, what I would do, I don't want to have planes rushing in here every 5 minutes. And what I will do in this group respect, we've got to have a relationship between you and Clanish.
That's right.
But I don't,
which way is me justice of fourth of those?
Well, that's what we did. See, that's what that fourth circle is all about.
He wants to keep Clanish.
Well, I don't know. The public thing, that's all he does. Anything he's recommending that he don't.
The way this would function is somewhat like the domestic council setup that you have now, looking just at the domestic side. Except that for
one small midnight market, they're still sending in reams of birthday calls.
I know,
I'm not doing it anymore. And mainly because it just isn't right. Send either wires or letters, or unless they're having a party or something, then I'll make a call. I call Mrs. Eisenhower, of course, because it's something different.
No, we're holding on those. The only, this is one that I guess maybe you have to make, which is to scoop Jackson, who's in.
Where?
In Tel Aviv, but he called and said he wanted to talk to you and relate to his last conversation with you, that you'll know what it's all about. I know it's important from your standpoint that he talked with you. He wants to talk with you between 11 and 12:30 our time today, which is any time in the next hour and a half.
All right, what to do?
That's all.
That's a call of mine.
Yeah, that's a birthday call.
No, that's it. That's the only caller I have.
Okay, go ahead then.
And you say Mitchell is saying that Clanish should be done.
Well, what the hell is that?
Well, that's now a story that's out. We don't know.
We're reading that in the paper.
We don't know whether that's so or not.
I can just talk to Mitchell and find out.
The infighting in there.
Yep.
I think you should call.
I'm going to.
Events in that department's got to be changed.
All of
the
right.
That's
assistant AGs and deputy AGs.
Up and down the go.
Up and down the
And we must have a lot of good young lawyers there, haven't we, that are loyal?
Well, we can find people for that.
We have my dad's no problem.
That's no problem. What becomes of the National Security Council? What becomes of the Domestic Council and so forth? I think it'll be possible to reconstitute some of these councils so that you can say to the vice president and to the head of the OEP and people of that kind, look, we're operating under a different mode now. And we drop out of the domestic council about 11 people.
Good.
And you end up with a domestic policy council. It is not the domestic council. It is a domestic policy council.
That's different.
And you only have those folks on. The three super secretaries, so to speak.
Right.
The attorney general. Right. And your...
I would have the attorney general on.
Well,
all right, we can drop the out of there. The attorney general, frankly, shouldn't be sitting in there unless he's a man of superb qualifications. Why do we have Mitchell on various things? Because we want him to judge.
Sure.
But why the hell we want Clanish to
Okay. That'll work out all right, because behind that, you see, the fellow who is the Secretary for Natural Resources can have his own policy group consisting of the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Commerce, the fellow from the...
How do I have contact with these poor bastards that are going to be members of the cabinet? Then?
You don't.
You know, I've got once a month or something like that.
Well, you can have a party for him, or you can call him in for a...
Well, you can have a
discussion.
Time to time where you talk about, you know, your report on your trip to Israel or something, I think we should have cabinet meetings for that kind of purpose.
But not for Jason, not for Paul.
Very important big things that cut across all agencies of government.
And like the budget. When the Secretary of Agriculture is picked, this ought to be reviewed with him so he has no illusions about his function. He's in a secondary capacity.
That's right.
And
he doesn't
take the job.
And we don't back off of it and say, well, it isn't really going to be this way. We say it is really going to be this way.
That's right.
But you see, but you would tell an Earl Butts, for example, yes, I'm an agriculture manager, you're the farmer, you're the president's man, you've got to argue for him, you know, he's the farmer's rep.
Yeah, absolutely. But on development of policy, he's got to work through natural resources or economic development, whichever it fits in.
Correct.
And he would set, really,
how much of this is made public?
All of it. I think you would say, this is a revolutionary approach to the administration and the business of the executive branch.
Well, let's go to the next step. Well, at this stage,
first of all, let me explain why this is important as I see it.
Yeah.
You
we have two motives. One is, of course, make the executive branch work better. The other is to permit us to get a lot of stuff off your desk and out of the White House and
right.
cut down the White House staff.
Push decisions down where they belong.
So when a decision comes in, we say, look, that's a decision that can be handled within the Natural Resources Group among you fellows. Mr. Secretary of Natural Resources, it's your job to resolve that. There's no reason why the president has
what
to...
What do we do? Do we name Rogers Morton as Secretary of Natural Resources?
I don't think he's up to it.
Well, that's the whole point. You gotta do that, and he has to go.
Right.
And you don't name him Secretary of Natural Resources. We gotta have a different name.
See, we gotta find a way so that it gets around the congressional thing.
And the way that you won't like it because of its precedent, but the best title for it is one John came up with, really, which is Counselor for Natural Resources. Now, you're not adding any cabinet-level type thing.
You're
right.
Using Counselor for
Natural
Resources. But you can have a Counselor for Natural Resources who is the Secretary of the Interior and a Counselor for...
Right. I get it as an extra assignment.
Exactly.
He's
in the portfolio.
That's right.
Which is perfectly proper.
We'll go on to talk about another aspect of
that's this. That's all right. I buy that concept. The Counselor doesn't bother me. You know, either.
I don't think
Bob
Major don't want Bob Major.
I don't want Bob Major
or
Don Rumsfeld and the
fifth wheel guys.
These
aren't fifth wheels, these are eight wheels.
All those people sitting around the cabinet table.
Behind the counselor is his own counselor. And he brings together the cabinet officers concerned with natural resources maybe once a week. And they talk about their mutual problems, and they try and iron out their conflicts, and they work out coordinations among their respective departments in that subject matter area. And those things don't get to your desk. Now, of course, what we spend so much of our time on is what Butch and Morton can't agree on forest lands. And we have to referee it. Now, the Counselor for Natural Resources will referee it, and he'll decide it.
I've got a thought. Butts is a button-down, tough,
political guy.
Right. And let agriculture take the lead instead of the church. That's
you see what I mean? Sure. You see my point?
Sure.
And then that way,
and then you can keep Raj.
The part around the parks.
You can do better than that.
Now, you've just a very small thing, but remember, that Hartzog's got to go through this pretty soon.
Absolutely.
You work on that?
Yes. You were saying, do you publicize this? A way to publicize it and a way to make it work is the thing John alluded to the other day. Those three people, the super secretaries, you put into offices in the executive office building so that they are part of the president's staff in their role as counselor. And you set up, they don't bring a big apparatus in, they just bring their, you know, an administrative assistant, a secretary.
Correct.
And they spend a major portion of their time in EOB.
Right.
Now, obviously, they have an office in their department, too, and they do spend some time over there. But the concept would be that the undersecretary runs the department, and that this guy, the counselor, is not responsible for running his department day to day. The undersecretary is. That leaves you within your existing legislative.
Now, what do we do in the meantime? Do we continue to press for our reorganization?
Sure, absolutely.
Try to get all
and we demonstrate that it's working. We demonstrate the viability of it.
You have a hell of a dramatic thing if you pull that stuff. And you move those guys in, you set up each of them in the EOB, and you set up, then you have your council that works. They're there together, they can talk to each other. They are presidentially oriented instead of departmentally oriented, which is the whole core of the problem we have now.
Let's talk a minute about the other areas. Here's Henry's side. Instead of the NSC, with the OEP
guy, the NSC, it is set up a law.
It is set up by law, but the law doesn't say it has to meet.
It's membership issue.
That's right.
And you leave it, and you can have a meeting in the NSC once in a while.
Right.
But your working unit is the Foreign Policy Council. Incidentally, in your generation of peace is a hell of a lot better thing to talk about than the National Security Council. Because it is foreign policy.
The NSC staff services. But the NSC is a separate entity.
I don't mean to bring these up as nitpicking things, but they are related to it. Have you braced Henry in the fact that he's got to decimate that goddamn staff of his?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And he's got to go with the rest.
He agrees. We did dinner with him the other day.
He's working on it. Yeah. He really is truly on.
every letter that comes in. They just make work.
Well, you see, going back to the domestic thing, I could cut out 80% of the domestic council staff.
You don't have any people.
Well, I have 29 or something.
That's not.
But I can cut down
every
to three or four.
Yeah.
I can cut down to three or four professionals. Because we'll force all the work back down through the counselors into their own staffs to get this analytical work done, get the refereeing done, get the papers written, get the speeches written, and all that kind of stuff. Now, there's a similar thing you can do with the economic side.
Why do you put OMB, an assistant for economic policy, in there?
Well, because so much of what goes on in there in the way of development of policy affects budget, affects management, and hopefully the OMB will be the way
moving
to manage.
I meet with this council.
No, Henry meets with that council primarily, and then moves the stuff to deal with them, and he's sitting on what he wanted.
But it wouldn't be said, you wouldn't tell them you're going to meet with
them.
And you're not the chairman of it. I would see that council as probably never meeting. I see that council as really only a paper device in order to define those people.
To categorize.
What,
I talked to Henry about this concept.
Yes.
Do you agree with
yes.
him?
Yes, completely.
What does he say about the papers and so forth? You know, Henry likes to get in and warble before the NSC.
You still do that. You have to keep your NSC mechanism for control purposes.
And also, that would, this, the reason this has to be raised is that's part of the AG. AG is a member of the statutory member of the NSC, so...
Well, you don't ever say to anybody, we're going to do anything about the NSC. You just don't get around to having... You haven't had a meeting for 6 months anyway.
No, we haven't. Every time I got to the point, now.
Now, we think Schultz and remove into the EOB also.
Well,
he's already Secretary of the Treasury.
I agree.
And he should coordinate and operate a policy council that is both foreign and domestic.
I agree, Ted, both.
So the CIEP, if it continues to exist as a coordinating mechanism, it's run at a low-level staff office within his economic policy council.
Right. Anyway, Schultz understands that better than anybody else. I mean, he's a, you know, when I say better than anybody else, Schultz is a sounder foreign economist than is. And frankly, let's face it, I think it helps or anybody.
Yeah.
He just knows more about the subject.
Well,
and his judgment will be better.
The CEA would, according to the statute and so on, have a direct line to you. But you would say that direct line comes through Schultz.
Sure, so does the chairman of the Joint Chiefs have a direct line. But it comes through him.
Okay, but you
offer. Yeah, I've got to pass some deals.
Anytime
I've got to break the matter because we've got to find ways that Henry has one problem. We've got to get rid of
him. He is passionate and insistent that he must sit in on every meeting I have with anybody.
We cannot do that. There will be occasions when I've got to sit down with the ball alone. I could have avoided some of the problems on this settlement.
Let me suggest, with the risk of sounding self-serving, that one of the things you can do there that solves that problem is use your White House staff for that. In other words, that's your own personal staff,
right?
Which is different than your policy staff. And then you cover that.
You will report to him.
And I can assure Henry that it's going to be covered. I can tell him whatever needs to be covered, or John in the case of the drastic.
That's right. That's right.
And it's a way that you can play both games, which you need to do sometimes.
This is all right.
Now, what goes on behind these assistants in the way of controlling the bureaucracy is something I don't think we need to take a lot of time on, except to say that we're going to work with ASH so that every agency, every bureau, every aspect of the executive branch is brought into the system through one of either the super secretaries on the domestic side or through one of the principal assistants.
There are no independent agencies anymore.
Nobody reports directly to you from an agency, NASA and all that stuff.
What are you putting for?
Well,
don't worry about the law.
This is you delegate. See, you delegate your authority to the secretary.
But
so
you have the right to
do. The guy reports to you via somebody else, that's all.
We'll do all the paperwork. We can structure this thing so that the whole water is legal.
That's not a problem. But the main thing here is...
You think you can sell, I mean, you think you can sell an Nelson Rockefeller?
Yes.
Oh, I would think so. If you could, you'd be a hell of an advocate.
I don't think there's any question. I think you could sell it off. But the way to do it, and that's why I would like to run Roy Ash instead of OFB, is to use Roy Ash for selling a lot of this stuff. You got the Ash Council, the Steve. He'd be perfect with Rockefeller, John. He'd battle on for 8 hours, and when it was all done, Rockefeller wouldn't know which end was up, and he'd say, my God, that guy's brilliant.
Of course, I keep going back to the Blue Room episode where Ash tried to sell
never use it with a group.
Yeah.
Never use it with a group.
And John Conley is selling with a group.
That's right. But Conley will back you up on that.
Yeah, I think Conley...
Conley's... Then you talk all that about this.
No.
He will not have.
I did.
A little, yeah.
He likes it.
He basically wants to change. I've gotten into the details in this, because we haven't. We've been. This is a hell of a complex thing. We're trying to untangle and simplify here. And it's
let me come back.
All fit together.
Let me come back. You see, we've got to all work political into this.
That's right.
If you'll read the history of the better political presidents, FDR, TR,
and Lincoln,
they were about on. And argued that it has been the last 100 years. But in every instance, they ran the show the way they wanted. But they took in the fact of the political thing. Like TR, of course, always said that we can't have hyphenated Americans, which is the greatest one to say, we've got to get a Jew, we've got to get a Catholic, and all that. And he did it. FDR did it quite openly, and so forth. I did the same thing. But that's why I come to Butts. No reason to have. You see, the farm constituency, as distinguished from the interior constituents,
right,
is a terribly brutal one. So you put them in charge and choose those farmers, figure they're being rewarded, their man's in charge of it, rather than having some asshole that we'll get for Secretary of the Interior. I really do work too. And Butts is, I think, a pro. He's a ball player. He's smart as hell.
Agreed.
Yep.
Yep.
I've had a talk with Butts. Interestingly enough, he came to me with a suggestion not too far different than this as an idea,
which is putting him in charge of the job rather than the interior.
Yeah,
it's not all too far from
it. It really sends a signal that is a net plus instead of a net minus. And it signals that environmentalists and all that is the overriding consideration.
Correct. But more than that, you're picking him as a man,
and
you have confidence, and with whom the farmers identify. That's
an interesting Weinberger is a man, and we have confidence that would be what we do with human resources.
He would be the human resources guy, but the
and Secretary of the EGW.
Yeah.
And you pick Schultz for the economic
Minister. Right.
And
then the one that we have
over is community development. You still have to get it.